Welcome back, everybody, after the summer break. Thank you for joining us once again. Here we are. We're starting the beginning of our 15th year of the webcast. Barry and I started way back in July 2010, and we notched up 14 years at the summer. Now we start the 15th year. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Any new listeners or viewers, you're very, very welcome. And we just appreciate you spending this time with us. So, Barry, good to see you again. How are you doing? Had a good summer?
Summer went really well, but it went really fast, as it does in kind of the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, our friends in the Southern Hemisphere will be having that to look forward to before they know it. But yeah, things are going well, and I just echo your welcome to everybody. And I can't believe we're in our 15th year doing this. I mean, I remember when we started, Mark, and it was it was a bit of a challenge as far as technically. I mean, it was really early days still, with all of this stuff. But here we are, you know, in our 15th year. You just keep plugging away, everybody who's joining us and who's been along with this in this journey. And like, as you mentioned, any new friends that are joining us for the first time, we just want to welcome you. I'm Barry, as you can see from my name beneath, but I'm broadcasting from Canada, close to Toronto. And of course, Mark, you are broadcasting from
Abingdon in Oxfordshire in England. So here we are. I know, 3,500 miles apart, 4,000 miles apart, but we have some good technology these days, I have to say. It works pretty well.
Last week I was teaching a school of ministry in Toronto, and I call them the youngins, you know, because they are the young ones, probably from 18. I mean, they're maybe older than 25, but most of them are in that age bracket. And then, you know, you start realizing that most of them were not alive when I first created the Father's Love Letter. So it's kind of like, you know, again, 15 years of doing this, it's like, boy, we've been doing this for a while, right? So it's a little surreal, but yeah, it's great to be back with you, mate. I mean, Mark and I've always felt over the years that we get to have coffee with each other once a week.
We do, even though we're on
different parts of the globe, but it's been amazing. And we get to join with you guys as well. And I mentioned in the chat, but feel free to let us know if you're comfortable, just where you're watching from. So, of course, we've got some comments already from our friends, long-standing friends in this journey. So thanks, guys, for congratulating us and being with us again.
And of course, feel free to put any comments, you like in the chat. But you do have to remember, please, that we are men, and multitasking is not a gift that comes easily to us. So we can't look at the screen and talk and look at the comments and comment. Yeah. But we do look at them afterwards. But yeah, feel free to use that.
Yes. And oftentimes, it's a little easier when there's two of us. So when one is talking, the other one can maybe be looking at the chat. But when it's sometimes we fly solo. And when we do that, that's a real challenge because, again, you can't be looking at the screen and then reading the chat. Yeah. But again, we do read them afterwards. One thing, if you don't mind, if I'll just mention, next week is going to be a special live stream that we're going to be doing with the webcast. And we're going to have our dear friends Peter Jackson and Larry Pearson on. And so there'll be the four of us. I still have to figure out. I'm going to ask Mark how to help me with getting four screens and four live streams going, but I'm sure it'll be great. And so don't miss that. Same time with Peter Jackson and Larry Pearson and then Mark and I. So just want to mention that.
So that'll be fun. So come along.
How was your summer, by the way?
Yeah, it's been good. We had seems ages ago now, but we had two of the grandsons coming to stay with us on their own without their parents, which is great fun. And then we had the whole family up for a week towards the end of the summer, which was good. So that was really good. And haven't been away because my wife is struggling with a back problem, which is very difficult. So haven't been away anywhere, just been around here, enjoying the beauty of Abingdon and the walks we can do around here. So yeah, been around here. And then tomorrow, I was just saying to Barry, tomorrow I go off to Scotland. I've got a church weekend up in Edinburgh this weekend, seeing some family as well. But just looking forward to being with this little church in Edinburgh and seeing what Father does. So yeah, looking forward to that. And then next week,
so we're back at it.
So a week on Saturday. So not this Saturday coming, but a week on Saturday. I'm in North Wales at Rhyl. Anybody in that area, North England, Midlands, Wales, come up to Rhyl. We're in the community centre by the library, just for a day with Glynis and her team up there. So really looking forward to that day there. So have a look at the website, on my website on the events page. It's got the details of where it is. Starts at 10 o'clock, I think, on Saturday, and then goes till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So anybody in the UK who's in driving distance, come and see us a week on Saturday. So here we are back again. What are we going to do tonight then, Barry?
As some of you know who have been with us for a while, it's just... it's kind of okay. What are we doing, mate? I don't know. We got to go with the flow. And of course, I think you've decided on a title for the topic that gives us a wide berth.
It does.
It changes everything.
It is the
Father's love. So I think that's what we're going to start with. And again, we just want to encourage everyone to really, if you'd like to participate, as far as in the comments. As we are now, of course, there'll be a lot of people who will be listening afterwards, and that is maybe a different dynamic. But if you're listening live, feel free to put comments in, and we so value your input as well. Because this is a family gathering, around the world. We have friends from Finland, Denmark, Montana, Canada, England, and beyond. So it's just amazing to do this.
Do you want to pray for us, Barry, and then I'll kick it off?
I guess we need all the prayer we can get. So,
yeah.
Well, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. 14 full years into our 15th year of doing this, thank you that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, because you cannot disown who you are. And thank you for your faithfulness for us, for this webcast, and for every one of our friends who have been on this journey with us, for some of them for a long time, some are new. But Father, we just ask as we just enter this new season that your love would be new, it would be fresh, your mercies are new every morning. And would you just guide us, and we just pray fresh blessings on everyone who is listening to the broadcast, whether it's live or afterwards. May each and every one of us just go deeper into this revelation of love. And Father, I pray that it would never be stale or so familiar that we lose the awe and wonder. May even today, as we just discuss the how everything is changed and transformed by your love, that we would all be captivated by your amazing kindness towards us. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Barry. You know, I called it Changes Everything. I've written a book called It Changes Everything, because when we have an encounter with the love of the Father, it changes everything. And of course, the it that we're talking about today is the Father's love. You know, that encounter with him. And if you've read my book, you know, the first part of the book is what it is, what the Father's love is, you know, how we can receive it. The second part of the book is how it changes everything. And it changes our relationships. It changes our family. It changes our churches. It changes our jobs. It will, I believe, change our communities. And so we just want to explore this together today. You know, I just... reminded reading through the gospel accounts over the last few weeks, these people who had an encounter with Jesus, you know, their lives were changed in an instant. Yeah. You know, I think of the woman at the well, you know, just the brief encounter with Jesus and her life is changed. The guy who was let down through the roof, he was on a mattress and they can't get through the door. They make a hole in the roof and let him down. And he has an encounter with Jesus and his life is changed. The disciples, of course, you know, their lives were turned upside down. And then on the other side of things, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and Jesus longed to have an encounter with him, but he just, this rich young guy just couldn't open his heart. And it says in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 10, that when Jesus is talking to this rich young ruler, Jesus looked at him and loved him, even though this guy was just unable to respond. And he went away sad. But, you know, Jesus looked at that guy and loved him. And we read in John chapter 15, I think it is, you know, Jesus says, "I, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And, you know, all these encounters that I've just mentioned briefly, and many, many more. People had an encounter with love. When they had an encounter with Jesus, they had an encounter with the Father's love, because Jesus was loving them as the Father had loved him. The love he'd received, he passed on. And all those encounters were encounters with love. And those people, their lives were changed. You know, we read about the Apostle Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. You know, he's out to persecute the church. He has an encounter with the love of God. And it totally changed him. And you can read through the Gospels. You can read through Acts of the Apostles. And wherever you read, it's an encounter with the person of love that changed them. They weren't given rules. They weren't given regulations. They weren't given the how-to, the why-fors, the wherefores. They just met a person and their lives were changed. And, you know, today as we talk about this, I just want you to have an open heart, to have a fresh encounter with love. You know, I think those of us who've been around a while and we've been on this journey, it's very easy to kind of settle and just think, okay, I've got it. You know, I've had an encounter with the love of the Father, but there's always more. Jesus says at the end of John chapter 17, you know, "I've revealed the Father and I will go on revealing the Father." That means today he is still revealing more of the Father to us. Tomorrow he will reveal more of the Father. You know, in 6 months' time, I want to have a deeper relationship with the Father than I have today. And I want to have those encounters with him. I was just talking about a situation with someone the other day, and you know, what came to me in that conversation was, it wasn't particularly profound, it wasn't particularly deep, but in that conversation what came to me were the first four words of the Bible. You know, "In the beginning, God." It's like the absolute foundation, the beginning of everything. It all goes back to him. And it's like, when you strip everything else away, there's nothing else but God. In the beginning, God. Everything else is built on that foundation. The whole of creation, mankind's relationship with him. You know, when we have him as our total foundation, we can be totally secure. We can totally trust him. You know, we can really believe that he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, God. It takes it right back to the basics. Yeah, and we know from John's letter, God is love. You know, in the beginning, before anything, there was God who is love. And when we base our lives on that, that's the best place to put it. You know, that's the rock upon which we build. And so, you know, that's my starting point, really. That this encounter with God, is an encounter with the one who is love. Mm-hmm. It's an encounter with love. And I know from my own experience, and I'm sure Barry will add something in. He knows it from his experience. I know many of you know it from your own experiences, that when you've had an encounter with the love of God, it changes your life. You know, and there's no going back. You know, I remember that. I remember that conference I went to in 2002 in Toronto. It changed me, and it's gone on changing me. Many of you will know my story. I went to that conference in 2002 with a list written down on a piece of paper of everything I wanted God to do in my life. Mm. All the stuff I wanted him to take out and deal with. I didn't get to that list in that conference because the Father said to me, Mark, I'm not interested in your list. Yeah. I thought, but you know, you're God. You're supposed to sort me out. That's what you do. And he said, no, I'm not interested in your list. I've got a list. Mm. And it, you know, eventually I submitted my heart and said, okay, what's on your list? And he said, I just want to love you.
Yeah.
I just want to love you. And that, when I said yes to that, and I opened the door to receive, and I just gave myself to receiving. And 6 months later, or thereabouts, I found my list again. And I realized that many, many things had been dealt with on that list.
Mm.
Not because I specifically brought them to God, not because of any deliverance or not because of any whatever, but simply because his love had dealt with those issues in my heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the beginning, and the journey goes on. And today we're just inviting you to have an encounter with him.
Yeah.
So that his love would change everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does. And I know many of you watching, I know you, and I know you've had that encounter. And I know you will have a testimony that's very similar, that says, yes, my life has been transformed by this encounter with the one who is love. The one who was there in the beginning, before there was anything else. And when we strip away all of the mess and all of the stuff of the world, we get back to in the beginning God.
Yeah.
Who is love. And he wants us to have an encounter with him. Yeah. And, you know, we're just inviting you today, just as we share our thoughts on this, to open your heart and say, here I am, Father. I want a new, fresh, deeper encounter with you. And I want, you know, maybe there's things that maybe you just want to say, Father, there's this area, it needs to change. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's an issue in your heart. You know, Father, would you let the substance of your love, which is it, that's it. Would you let the substance of your love change this bit of my life? Maybe your prayer is just a blanket prayer. You know, Father, would you let the substance of your love change everything? But just have that open heart to say, Father, here I am. I want that encounter. I want to be changed. You see, he's much more interested in us than he is in what we do for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he is love. The nature, the character, the personality of who God is love. And he does a lot of other things, but who he is love. And that's what we want for today. It's just a new, fresh encounter with the love of God. So Barry, over to you, matey.
Wow. I'm just sitting here receiving, Mark, everything you're saying and saying yes and amen to that. And I just, I think at the end of the day, you know, anybody on their deathbed, when they're reflecting on their life, they're probably not thinking, I should have worked more at the office or I should have, worked harder, got more promotions or spent more money or whatever. Typically at the end of the day, it's like everything is refined And it really comes down to who has loved us and who have we loved.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I feel, even as you're saying it, that the Father would just want each and every one of us, you know, just to be reminded of the priority of love and the how it is everything, right? It and is. Again, in the beginning, God, when you think of in the beginning, love.
Yeah.
It was like the love of God, you know, kissed the universe and the creation was the result. And, you know, one of the things, and I know that, you know, I've been walking in this revelation for over 26 years. And, you know, Mark has been for many years as well. And I think one of the things, and even as we share this revelation, it's I know my own heart is never ever to feel like I've got it figured out. Never feel like it's become a message rather than an ongoing revelation that every day is overwhelming me. And I think that's the thing that, you know, I really feel that as you were sharing that God would be able to do for each and every one of us today, whether we're listening live or afterward, that we would have a fresh revelation, a fresh encounter with the eternal affection of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we know that, you know, when we talk about God being love, and when I think of the Trinity, the way that I think of that in my own kind of just trying to grasp the, you know, the indefinable, the infinite love of God is that God the Father is the origin of love. Yeah. The love comes from the Father. And as Jesus said, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. And then if the Father is the origin of love, then the Son is love personified.
Yeah.
You know, when he came, that incarnation 2,000 years ago, when he took upon himself humanity, flesh and bone, where the Bible says that he has been tempted in every way as us, yet without sin, so that he would understand our struggles. So, you know, my encouragement to you today, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what hardships you're going through, no matter what temptations that you are enduring, no matter what difficulties you're dealing with, that God personified in the form of Jesus understands everything because he has suffered everything that we have experienced yet without sin. And if the Jesus being love personified, you know, everything, as Mark said, everything that Jesus did was a manifestation of his Father. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak the words I hear my Father speaking. Everything he did when he played with little children, he was manifesting the love of the Father. When he, you know, got in between the woman caught in the act of adultery in the religious community, he was bringing a Father's love into that community, into that situation to protect her and to stand between her and her accusers. And so when we begin to understand that everything that Jesus did was an exact representation of the Father. So if we have any way, any kind of love misrepresented to us in our life, and we all have, because, you know, love, the perfect love of God only comes from God, and the manifestations that we experience through friends and our parents and in culture, even church life, is imperfect compared to the perfect love that God has for us. Yeah. And I just think if God the Son is love personified, then God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is love imparted. And I really believe that, you know, even today, Romans 5:5, where God says, or Paul writes, he says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given us." And, you know, again, for my prayer, as we just kind of ruminate together in this revelation, and that, you know, the Father would just, each and every one of us, this wouldn't be stale. Like, even, you know, even though Mark and I have shared lots of messages over many years, that today's bread, today's manna would be fresh, and we would break it together with you, and that each and every one of us would be caught up into this revelation of the love of God. And I think, you know, Paul praying in Ephesians 1:17-18, when he says, "I keep on asking the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better and that he might open the eyes of your heart so that you might know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have together with all the saints. And I just believe that when love comes, the love that is loved each and every one of us from before the world was created, when that eternal, everlasting love intersects our humanity today, life, we will be changed. We will be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And I think that's what we're talking about, the it. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, for if Mark and I were sitting here and, you know, I'm going, I remember back 26 years ago, you know, when Jack Winter hugged me, you know, and I I'm living in an experience I had 26 years ago. I believe the Father wants each and every one of us to have that testimony every moment of our life. And again, when I know in Mark's book, and I highly recommend it for anybody who of that title, it changes everything. When we begin to see the love of God all around us and it, how it impacts work and family and free time and spirituality and everything, we really do begin to understand that it does change everything. So,
absolutely. You know, this, and if we look at our lives without love, you know, if we look at our lives where we're responding or reacting to perhaps the way our parents have been, perhaps the sort of performance they put upon us, or the abuse, or, you know, the pains or wounds that have we've suffered. You know, those things on a negative side, they affect everything as well. They change everything. You know, they put our life on a different course. I mean, those of in the UK in the last few days, there's been a very famous person who's very well known, has just been, you know, sentenced for a prison sentence. And I read the article about it, and basically, you know, what he said was, you know, I had a very austere dad, you know, a very puritanical dad who was abusive. And it's like, that's shaped him.
Yeah.
And I think, I know the answer for you. The answer is an encounter with the pure love of the Father. And, you know, I think all of us have been through circumstances that have shaped us and caused our lives to be changed, perhaps in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And we can have a bigger change, a bigger transformation when we come to the Father and say, look, here I am, Father. This is me, you know, brokenness and everything. I just want that encounter with you.
Yeah.
And maybe he's just putting his finger on stuff in your lives that you've never brought out into the light to him. I mean, he knows about them, but we bury them, and we put them in the cellar of our heart, and we slam the trapdoor on, and we put a padlock on it, and then we pile a whole load of weight on it, and we say we're never going there. But we always know it's there. We always know that pain is buried in our heart. And, you know, what he wants us to do today is just perhaps to move some of the stuff we've piled on top of that trapdoor, open the trapdoor and say, Father, you know, here's something. I know your love can transform my life. I know your love can change. Yeah. And, you know, I really believe that this is the answer for everything. You know, I think just before the summer, Barry and I, we talked about the pearl of great price. You know, those two parables Jesus said where, you know, a man found a pearl, a treasure in a field, and he sold everything he had in order to get that treasure. Mm. And this is what it's like for us. You know, for Barry and I, this revelation, it's not just a revelation. It's more than a revelation. It's an experience. It's an impartation, as Barry said. It's allowing our lives to be changed. And that is the pearl of great price.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, simply put, that this is it. You know, people offer a lot of counterfeits, you know, and they look good. Counterfeits always look good, don't they? You know, the counterfeit watch that you buy on the beach in Mallorca or Benidorm. You know, it looks like the real thing, but it's not. I bought something the other day. I bought a wireless charger for my iPhone. It was a really good price. It came in a box with the Apple logo on it, and it looked exactly like an Apple product, but it isn't an Apple product. It works, it does the job, but it's a counterfeit, but it looks good. Even the packaging was as good as, but it's not the real thing. And we are offered so many counterfeits. We're offered so many things that look good, you know, programs, performance, projects, things we give ourselves to. They all look good, but they don't satisfy the longing of our heart.
Yeah.
Because it's only an encounter with the Father. It's only an encounter with the Son. It's only an encounter with the Holy Spirit that changes everything. And, you know, I go around churches and I talk to people and I see people, and sometimes I come away slightly frustrated, thinking, well, why are you not having a regular encounter with the person of the Trinity? You know, one of them at least. One would do. But it's like, come on, let's seek out those encounters. Let's earnestly desire them. You know, Paul says in Corinthians, let me show you the most excellent way, the way of love. You know, we desperately need the gifts of the Spirit. You know, Paul highlights those in chapters 12 and 14. But he says, no, the most excellent way is the way of love.
Yeah.
And if we make that our all in all, then all of these other things that are so important and so necessary, they will flow. You know, if we give ourselves to the most excellent way, then the gifts of the Spirit will flow, because we are filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who pours the Father's love into our heart, as Barry's quoted.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I am so glad. You know, I look back over the last 22 years and I see what the Father has done in my life. I see what the Father's done in my family's life. I see what it's done in my friends' lives. And I think, that's great. But I'm not stopping, because there's more. And I know many of you have been on this journey for years and years, but let's have a renewed sense together that there is more for all of us.
I think the idea of more, it's not like we're chasing a carrot on a stick, because it's love is indwelling us, but it's an expansion of that love, right? And I just think about the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 3, and maybe I'll just, if it's okay, I'll just read it again.
Yeah.
Because this is God's will for you and I today, not, you know, just for eternity or the one-off encounter that we had with the Father's love, but I mean, I believe this is an ongoing prayer that you and I can pray for each other, you know, and just that the Father would, on our behalf, because this is his will. And it's Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. It says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine? And I think, honestly, to me, it's just reminding myself even that that is the will of God for us on a mm-hmm. continual basis, is to walk in this revelation where we're being rooted in love, grounded, going deep into the soil of our heart, so that the Holy Spirit might give us the power to even grasp the immeasurable bigness of God's love for us in Jesus, and that we might be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. And like, would we dare, each and every one of us, as we're listening to these words, to say, Father, could that be my present reality now? An expansion, a more, not just satisfied with yesterday's mercies, but there's mercies new today, and there's new mercies for each one of us tomorrow as well.
Yeah. There's just been a question in the comments. Could you guys talk more about the hows of encountering him? And for me, I just tell you what I do. It's simple, because I'm simple.
Yeah.
But, you know, very often, I mean, backtrack a little bit. Every relationship takes time. You know, if we're going to have relationship with our wives, husbands, our friends, our kids, we have to give time to those relationships, And it's the same with our relationship with the Father. It's the same with our relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. We have to give them time.
Yeah.
And I suppose I'm in the fortunate position now. I'm not working. Our kids are grown up. Mm-hmm. So time is something I have a bit more than I used to have a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But for me, one of the things I do very, very often and very simply is just put my hand on my heart. And just quietly, you know, and just say, Father, would you pour your love into my heart right now? You know, and I can do that when I'm out walking. I tend to go out for a walk every day. Again, I'm fortunate enough to have the time to do that. And very often I can just put my hand on my heart when I'm out walking. Sometimes I have some music on. Sometimes it's just me, quiet. I just say, Father, pour your love into my heart. Sometimes I just sit in this room and just maybe put some music on, maybe just have just the time, just being in his presence. And I don't come with a long list of things. On those times, there are other times I do, but I don't come with a long list of things I want to ask God for or, you know, pray about. I just say, here I am, you know, and just I want that encounter with you. When I'm out walking, I just take that opportunity. One of the other things, you know, and over the summer, we've just had the opportunity to spend a bit more time with friends and just have meals together and coffees together and conversations together. We went for a meal with some friends a few weeks ago and just started talking, and it was like a deep, deep conversation. It was like a river of of encounter. And I think, you know, we were encouraging them and they were encouraging us. Yeah. And, you know, and it was just like that time of telling stories, you know, what Father's doing in my life, what's he doing in your life. And those are encouraging times, you know, and listening to someone else's story, you can have an encounter with the Father because you see what he's done and you say, oh, Father, thank you. And, you know, I mean, that's just me. That's what I do. Sometimes I write things down in my journal. Yesterday I was with a friend I haven't seen him for a number of years, and we were just talking, and he shared something with me, and I thought, that's it. And just in that moment, it was like just an encounter with the Father. Just in that conversation, he just said something very simple, but it was just like the Father spoke to me. And so I just think there's these little things, and for me it's like relationship. Who are those people that are walking this journey? I mean, obviously Barry and I are walking this journey together, and we're in touch regularly, and we've been in touch over the summer, and it's like we can encourage one another. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think, you know, whatever opportunities the Father gives you, take them.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised, I think, you know, with those things. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, and I say yes to everything that Mark said as well. I think in the sense normalizing the abiding presence of God, you know, not just spiritualizing it, but just embracing and being aware of God's surrounding presence all the time. Like there's a book about a monk, you know, I think centuries ago, named Brother Lawrence, you know, and it was practicing his presence. And basically what he talked about was just how he would encounter God washing the dishes in the monastery. And I think that's one of the things that for me has really helped me over the years is not to think of it as a spiritual discipline. It's just, it's all the time. It's the abiding presence of God in my life. And often, you know, when I teach at schools, and this is something that I'm aware of my own life, is just, you know, Google says that the average person breathes 20,000 times in a day. And one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Ruach, the breath of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, we know that, you know, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We know that Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And if the breath of God is all around us, and, you know, Acts 17 says, "In him we live and move and have our being," I really believe that for me, it's just, it's as, you know, my prayer for me and for other people is that the just walking in just the abiding love of God is just breathing. It's as easy as breathing, and just being aware, even in those moments where we, you know, it's like practicing his presence, just saying, "Thank you, Father, I just breathe in your love that's around me right now." And then, you know, being able to believe that, you know, as we don't always focus on breathing, that the love of God is around us. And when we begin to see that, and, you know, we've talked before about the difference between a Hebrew mindset and a Greek mindset, where everything in a Greek mindset is compartmentalized, but a Hebrew mindset, everything is holy. Everything is an act of worship. And I think when we are just, it's a beautiful simplicity to see when you're playing with your grandchildren, it's an act of worship. When you're studying or sharing to the nations, it's an act of worship. But in everything in between is. And I think when we are able just to give ourselves the space to believe that that's true, and that we don't always have to be doing these intense discipline things in order to show our obedience to Christ, but that it's just living life and breathing, I think for me, that helps me. Because especially the performance junkie in me that, you know, has always looked for affirmation by achievement. Yeah. And oftentimes God will come, and the work to enter into rest is a work, because it's ceasing from my own work so I can actually enter into the rest of God as he rests from his work. So I don't know if that's helpful for anybody. Yeah.
And I think when we're talking about it changes everything, very often we can do what I did when I went to Toronto. I can have that list of what I want changed. And actually my priorities are different to the Father's priorities. So I'm just learning to come and say, "Here I am.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to do in me?" Just seeing what he's doing is maybe not what I was expecting. The thing, I think, it comes back to our hearts, that we have an open heart to have those encounters with the one who is love. And I wonder, Barry, if we could just move into just a time of praying for folk. And awesome. That we all have that fresh encounter with love. You know, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, love. And that's the rock. That's the foundation for everything. So I just want to open our hearts and bring ourselves to the Father. So here we are. Here we are, Father. Just want an encounter with you in these moments together. You know each one of us. You know each one of us before we were formed in our mother's womb. Before the beginning of creation, you knew us. You predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship.
Yeah.
The very hair on our head is numbered, and you know that number. And you keep it up to date as it changes. You know all about us.
Yes, Dad.
You created us in our mother's womb. You breathed your life into us. We are born from above. We have a natural birth, and then we're born from above. We're born by the Spirit. And you are our Father. And Father, we just want to open our hearts again afresh today to encounter you, to encounter love. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and pour the love of the Father into our hearts.
Yeah.
That you would be the Holy Spirit of impartation. Whether we've been on this journey 6 months or 20 years, Father, we just want a deeper encounter with your love.
Yeah.
To know more of the height and depth and width and breadth of your love, the love that knows no limits.
Yeah.
Father, help us just today to explore a bit more of that.
Wow.
Whatever our dreams, whatever we can imagine, you go beyond our dreams, you go beyond our imagination. You do more than we can ask or think. So Father, we're just here in your presence. Father, for the people who find it just hard to be aware of your presence, for whatever reason, I just ask, Father, they would have that manifold sense of your presence right now.
Yes, dear.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow. Wow. And Father, just would you just help us to breathe? Just simply breathe, just in a very normal, intuitive way. But we would breathe in your love that surrounds us. And Father, would you just recalibrate our understanding of love. That Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the exact representation of your being. And everything that we understand that is not of love's kind, Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would begin to dismantle every misconception of you being a father, and that love would come and just usurp anything that would, any thought that would just come against the true expression of your love. And Father, we know that your love is patient, your love is kind. We know, Father, that your love, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, nor is self-seeking. Father, we know that your love is not easily angered, It keeps no records of wrongs.
Yeah.
It does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. And we know that your love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres.
Yeah.
Because your love will never, ever, ever fail us. So, Father, we just ask for a fresh impartation of love by the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. And, Father, would you fill each and every one of us afresh? Would you expand our capacity right in this very moment, here and now, to experience a deeper, wider, higher, and longer expression of your love than we've ever experienced before.
Yeah.
Wow. That we would know that Jesus loves us exactly how you have loved him. In his prayer in John 17:26, that says, I have made them known, Father. I've made you known, Father, and I will continue to make you known.
Yeah.
That the love you have for me may be in them, and I may be in them.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for the heart of Jesus to pray that prayer.
Yeah.
That we are the recipients today of his love.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately your love expressed through your beloved Son and imparted by your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we just posture our hearts to receive, even in this moment, even if everything in us struggles to believe. Lord, we declare, Lord, we believe, help the areas of unbelief in our hearts and fill us with your love.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Good stuff, eh?
It's all good stuff. Yes, well, thank you so much for joining us again. Go on receiving, go on having those encounters. In the beginning, God, in the beginning, love. It's our foundation for everything. Come and join us next week. We've got Larry and Peter with us. And I'm sure between now and then we'll work out the technology of how to get four faces on the screen. But I look forward to seeing you all then. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Bless you guys. Thank you. See you next week.